Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, today it is February 9th, and this is episode 32, in which I machine quilt a very large quilt. It's actually what I'm taking a break from right now. And I have to tell you, so it's been like a week. Maybe over a week. No, I think I posted my last episode last Wednesday. So it's been exactly a week, and I've done nothing except have dreams about sending this quilt to a long armor. And I mean that literally. I dreamt that one time last week. I was like, I think instead of quilting this myself, I shall find a long arm quilter to send it to. Because as I mentioned last week, it's scary. And you know what I'm learning today? It's heavy. This is like a workout. It's so cool, actually, because I've been thinking about joining a gym just to lift weights. I don't like working out in gyms, and I really like to walk. So I get a lot of walking done. I walk my dog every day, and we go out for like 45 minutes or an hour or so. I get good walking in, but I feel like I need to do some weightlifting as well to build up that bone mass and to maybe make my metabolism a little zippier than it currently is. But after working on this quilt today, I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't know if I need to join a gym. I could just machine quilt people's queen size quilts for them, and I think that would be workout enough. Good googly moogly. This thing is heavy. Right now, I'm just doing the foundation quilting where I'm stitching in the ditch just to hold things down for when I go back and do the grid quilting, which, by the way, I don't actually know how to do. I need to sit down with a piece of paper and draw it out. I think it's very simple. I think it's just lines, but I like to know what I'm doing, and not that I actually ever do. But anyway, so that's what I'm doing. The quilt is humongous. I'm stitching the ditch, but my lines are not really that straight. But I've gotten to the point where I don't even care anymore, because you know what? I won't notice. I really won't notice at all. I'll just be happy to have this quilt quilted and on my bed. I just have these big dreams. You know, it's February. I know it's February where you are too. Our February so far in this first week has been a mixed bag. We have had a couple beautiful days. And if you're wondering now, why did it take you all week other than fear to get going on this project of yours, which I really want to have finished before the next Modern Quilt Guild meeting, which is, I believe, the 20th, something like that. So I don't know. That may be asking too much. But what really slowed me down is our furnace went on the fritz last week. It's been threatening for a while now. It's 20 years old. A couple years ago, we had some problems and had it fixed. And then recently, it had kind of just, every once in a while, it would just not come on. And so we had the furnace guys out, and they said that our heating something or other had cracked, which was the problem before, by the way. And by the by, we were getting carbon monoxide in the house. Not, you know, which, by the way, when you hear that, you immediately panic. We do have a carbon monoxide detector, but nonetheless, but we were told we were getting 5 parts per million. Now, I looked that up, and that's actually, well, if your house is really well insulated, that actually could be problematic, but our house is not, and OSHA says that for working conditions, you can up to 30 parts per million is okay. So I'm like, all right, you know, and also 5 parts per million is not uncommon if you cook with gas, which I do. So I decided not to panic, although every night I did say a little prayer, like, please let us wake up in the morning alive. Anyway, time for a new furnace, because guess what? The part for the old furnace cost more than a new furnace. I don't know if it's because our furnace is so old or what is it, but yep. That turned out to be the case. So we went for, let's see, the furnace from last Thursday until yesterday afternoon, pretty much without heat. We got the new furnace put in on, what is it, Monday, but then it wasn't working right, so they had to come back out yesterday. And I'm someone who normally tries to keep the furnace down a little bit, the heat down, you know, to 69 or 70. I know there are people who are really good and go like 65 or 68, but I work at home and I need a little bit of warmth. But I'll tell you what, yesterday when this baby finally started running for real, I cranked it up to 73. It was so nice. Now it's back down to 70. But here's the thing is that, so we went without heat, but the weather has actually been pretty nice. And it's been what I think of as a typical North Carolina winter, which is the temperature is between 45 and 50 degrees. And you know what? That's as it should be. That's how God made this great state. I'm not patriotic until it comes to the weather, I guess. Maybe I am patriotic. I don't know. I was thinking about that again because I was looking at the January, February McCalls with the patriotic God Bless America quilt and also then the sort of Southern Comfort quilt inside. And, you know, I think I've said this makes me nervous when people start talking about Southern hospitality, although I believe it is a true and real thing. We need to be careful about celebrating too much of the South's heritage without a little healthy dose of perspective. Anyway, not too cold, so not the worst time in the world to have your furnace go on the fritz. Would have been better in the summer, but then we wouldn't have known because we wouldn't be running the furnace. But we did pretty much just live in the family room by the fireplace. And my sewing stuff is here in the living room. Now, had I known what a workout this would be and actually how overheated I would get quilting this quilt, I would have just come and work on it. But as it was, I just kind of stayed by the fire until yesterday afternoon. It's nice having a fire. I enjoyed that part of it. But that kind of got into my quilting mojo, the really kind of cold house thing. But now we're all back and ready to go, and I'm just hoping not to mess this up too bad. Feels like that's a possibility. So far, so good. I've only done a little bit, and my hope is today is to finish the basic stitch in a ditch kind of stabilizing type quilting and then sit down and really have a plan for the rest of it. I just don't know how long it's going to take. Just don't know. I'll have a better report next week. I don't have a huge amount to say. I got some great comments, which I appreciate, on last week's episode. And let me tell you who I heard from. From Noni. And this is, she says, the reason there are no events for 40-year-olds is the 40-year-olds, do not organize them. The quilt guilds organize and get their shows and retreats set up with events open to all, etc. If you want to meet women of your age group that quilt, you might have to advertise or set up your own event, the Sisterhood of 40-Year-Old Quilters. That's a great idea. Maybe you just do. Maybe you just have to advertise. And I did, I think as I mentioned last week, I heard from other people who felt in the same way, in the same sort of place. And then I've been catching up with my podcasts and listened to Sandy's from, I think, January 31st. And she said that she had the same experience. And she's 45. And she said usually the women and the groups she attends are either 15 years older or 15 years younger, and that it's actually because where we come in, right? I was born in 64, tail end of the baby boom, but I'm not a baby boomer, and I can't remember what Sandy referred to us to, but mostly we're just sad and lonely people here in our mid 40s. Where's everybody? Where's everybody? Now, Noni also says, if you think being a 40-year-old quilter is tough, try being an old modern quilter. You do not belong with the young modern quilters, and the traditional old-timers turn their noses up at your quilts. I guess we all feel lonely in a way. But, you know, yeah, there were at this Modern Quilt Guild meeting that I went to last month, there was one woman, and she was so cool, and she was probably in her 70s. There were more middle-aged women there than I had expected. I didn't go around and poll people as to their ages. But yeah, and there were, of course, a number of younger women. But there was only one woman who was significantly older than everyone else. Now, I don't think Noni's, and I don't think you're in your 70s, so she may have been old even for you. Yeah, so that, but yeah, I know. It's sometimes, that's kind of sad about the older quilters, though, not kind of taking your, turning their noses up at your quilts. We shouldn't do that. We judge each other much too harshly. ooh, okay. Noni also throwing out another knitting jab. Knitting mostly belongs to one person. Ownership, socks and sweaters. Afghans are just wannabe quilt projects. Quilts can be used for warmth by anyone who grabs one up. Like today, I have two quilts on me because we keep the house on the cold side to save some money. Anyway, yes, true. There is a communal aspect to quilting, both in the quilts themselves and also in the making of the quilts. I really would have loved to have had help basting this quilt, for instance. And of course, there's the help you get when you go into the quilt store, and people are usually pretty happy to help you and pick out fabrics and that sort of thing. And that has a communal community aspect too. So an excellent point, but well, nothing softer than cashmere. That's all I got to say. And yeah, and there's a one for those knitters out there, and I know you're there. I think I've mentioned the DK Cash Soft Wool. But let me mention it again because it is some soft stuff. Let's see. I heard from Victoria and from Colleen, and who said, made a good point, said, you know, the not so young and not so old quilters may not be at the guild meetings, but they seem to be online a lot. Maybe that's just a more effective way of socializing and sharing where you, when you're in those really busy years when your kids are younger, which I think is an excellent point. I think that's true. We're certainly finding each other in the podcasting world and on blogs. So I think that's probably, and I have to say, Colleen, because I have thought about the fact that, of course, probably one of the reasons I don't see as many women my age out and about is because they're actually, you know, doing stuff with their kids. I'm just like, as soon as the man gets home, I'm like, all right, see ya, I'm off to this meeting. That's not really true. I spend a lot of quality time. I spend a lot of quantity time with my children. I don't know if I'd go so far as to call it quality time, but I spend a lot of time with my children. But yeah, I've thought that it just may be, and not everyone has a mate or a partner who is as supportive of the man. And when it comes to extracurricular activities. And I have some friends where it's like that, where their families just have a fit. You know, I took a class through Duke, Duke Community College. No, not that. Whatever it is where you take the classes that are open to everyone. What is that called? It'll come to me when I'm 47, maybe. But anyway, so I took a class with a friend. It was very interesting. It was called The South in Black and White. And her, I think her family really resented her going out every Tuesday night to this class. And, you know, it meant that her husband had to get home from work a little bit early. And, you know, she wasn't there, I guess, maybe to serve dinner. Or it was shocking to me because the man's never been that way. But, you know, the man also, I'm not that way with the man. I mean, we both have a lot of interest and feel pretty strongly that it's important for us to pursue those interests and be happy. Those things make us happy. And if the children kind of get left behind in the dust, so be it. That is not true. I'm being facetious, Mom. Don't worry, Mom. We're taking care of the kids. Although I did get a call. Will was sick earlier this week, just for a couple days. It wasn't much, just a little bit of a fever. And he was pale. He didn't look good. He said his stomach hurt. And he went back to school today. And Will is a notoriously just a bad eater. He's getting better. We are getting him to eat a little bit more meat. Some of that meat is like hot dogs, which is questionable, although we get Nathan's kosher hot dogs. So we're hoping, I think maybe that's Hebrew Nationals at kosher. Anyway, we're hoping that Nathan's is a better quality hot dog. But he'll eat hamburger and chicken a little reluctantly. But that's a big, big step for him. He's just one of these kids. It's like he has a really visceral response to whatever he puts in his mouth. And if it doesn't have a good feel, he's not going to eat it. So anyway, but he's gotten sick a lot this year. And I've had the thought myself, it's just like, he just is going to have to eat more and also get to sleep earlier. And his teacher called today because he went to school without his coat. Yes, my sick child, my just recently sick child, went to school without a coat. Now, he did have like three layers on. He has this UNC hooded sweatshirt that he loves and wears as a coat. And he'll wear like a sweater under it and a t-shirt or two under it. But she called, and she's very lovely. I like her a lot. She said, now, was Will supposed to wear a coat today? And I said, no, he really likes those layers. She said, you know, we've just been wondering, you know, he doesn't seem to eat very much or drink anything. And, you know, he's gotten sick a lot this year. And, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm a bad mom. I'm not really, I mean, we really do work with him a lot. And he eats, I think he also is very self-conscious. So I think he kind of likes to get that eating thing over with and move on. I don't know. That just makes you feel good about yourself as a mom, though, when the teacher calls and says, yeah, I'm going to be calling social services here in the next 5 minutes, and I just thought I'd give you a heads up on that. Anyway, got a nice comment from Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us. Thank you. And I've been enjoying catching up with Sandy, and she sounds like she is catching up with the new podcast, too. So yay to Noni. Susan, the History Quilter, has a new episode up that I'm going to listen to. And we also have Katie over at Katie's Quilting Corner. So yay. Debbie says that she uses King Tut quilting thread. This is what I'm using to machine quilt Simply Amy Simply Francis. She uses it on almost all of her quilts. She loves the variegated colors. It's a great quality thread. And I should say, too, I was talking with my mom yesterday. She took a class this weekend on machine quilting, and the teacher there was very big on superior threads, and King Tut is a superior thread. Let's see. Gretchen, heard from Gretchen, who is very complimentary about the quilt backing. Thank you. And Diane, and who also likes the backing fabric choice. She says it really echoes the design of the front, which is what I thought too. Let's see. She left a long comment. But she's doing machine quilting on a regular Singer. She says, that I picked up before I became interested in quilting. Ain't that the case? You get this machine, and then is when you get interested in quilting and decide you need a much better machine. She said, oh, she's talking about one that she made for her daughter. She said it needed curves, and that meant trying to roll the puppy up and shove it through my machine and try to make sharp turns and reverses. I tried and gave up. I would too. That sounds way too hard. The thing about the quilts, when you do it yourself, they're just so, as I've been saying, big and just hard. You know, there is, it's something. I think that it's just going to take practice to get really comfortable handling them. And you don't really think about handling your quilt until you start machine quilting it. She also wanted me to know that one of her resolutions for the year is trying knitting again. And go, Diane. I think you can do it. You're going to love it. Yarn is so soft. And she's reading What the Dog Saw by Malcolm Gladwell, which I don't think that I have read. I have read the other one, which, you know, if I had half a brain, I'd be able to tell you, you know, about the one where he talks a lot about practicing, and you have to practice anything for 10,000 hours to be a genius at it. Outliers. I think it's called Outliers. I have read that, but and the man listened to What the Dog Saw on audiobook driving to and from work and really enjoyed it, so maybe I will pick that up. Thank you, everyone, for your comments and your feedback. I appreciate it. I don't know what else I have to tell you. Oh, I've been getting some neat postcards. Thank you. I got just today, the only mail I had was a postcard from Colleen in Calgary, which I am so ashamed to say, it was a beautiful skyline photograph. I didn't know Calgary had one. I am just this ignorant American, North American, I should say. Although Colleen, as a Canadian, are you a North American too? Are we both North American? Good Lord. I am an ignorant citizen of the United States of America. Because I was like, wow, I guess I just thought of Calgary as being really rural. But no, it's got skyscrapers. So anyway, I got that and got one from Jean that she hand-drew some lovely houses. So it looked like a quilt and colored. It was lovely. And then I got a quilted postcard from Sue up in Connecticut. And I'm so excited. It's amazing. Sue, it's beautiful. And now I really have to teach myself how to do this. There are tutorials online. And I looked at them because Sue had mentioned to me in an email that she did that. That she made quilted postcards, and I looked up, and it doesn't look like that. It's that hard when you look at online, but I don't know. But Sue's was really cute, and so it may be harder than it looks. It has zigzag on it and stuff. So thank you very much. I'm excited to get postcards and to make them and send them out. And I just heard from someone the other day who's also interested in doing a postcard exchange. So if you're interested, let me know, because it's fun for me. It makes me really sit down and draw, which I'm trying to do more of this year. That is one of my resolutions. I don't know if I have anything else to tell you right now. I just have a lot of Stitch in the Ditch quilting to do, and I just need to stay on it and it's gonna happen. Sometimes you don't quite believe it because it's big. It's a big quilt. I'm sure I have other things to say that will come to me later, but I will try to save them for next week. Until then, I hope you get a lot of quilting done and are having a good February. February can be a tough nut. It just can be. And we, again, have had this great string of weather, and tonight it's supposed to snow, and then Sunday it's supposed to be 60. So it's a little crazy. That's what global warming will do for you, but I'm looking forward to 60. That's all I got to say, because it's almost time to start the garden. That's another beautiful thing about living in North Carolina, is it can be February 9th and you're like, yep, almost time to get the garden going. I think we're going to plant some indoor seeds this weekend to put under the grow light. We're going to start our tomatoes, and I may work the garden on the 60 degree Sunday afternoon to get ready to plant some spinach and some carrots. So things that will grow in early spring. This is technically not early spring, but I'm ready to go. And we'll see how everything comes up. All right, off to get back to the big, really heavy quilt. So have a great week, and I will talk to you next week. Bye. P.S. I cannot believe I forgot to tell you this. I, in fact, earlier in the week thought I don't have anything to podcast about, but I could podcast about this email alone. I got this from Pam on Sunday. Let me read it to you. Dear Frances, I have been listening over time, and I love your podcast. Thank you, Pam. And you have been talking about the Fonz and Porter magazine always being wrapped in plastic. Well, I am thinking your mother fixed the problem when she mentioned it to, I think, Marianne Fonz. And Pam, that's right, that's who it was, on the quilting cruise. I was at Barnes & Noble here in Rochester, New York yesterday, and the March-April issue was bagless. Congratulations to you and your mother on a successful campaign. Perhaps they never realized that they were environmentally wasteful until you brought it up. Anyways, well done. I am looking forward to your next podcast. Signed, Pam. Isn't that fabulous? My mother is a revolutionary. She has started a revolution simply by speaking truth to power. Let's face it. She had the opportunity. She said, by the by, Marianne, help a sister out. Maybe Marianne did. Maybe Marianne got on the horn and made some calls. Isn't that really cool? I hope it's not a fluke. I hope that they're really gonna go bag free. It would make us so happy. And you know what? If I see the March April issue and it is bagless at my Barnes & Noble, I will buy it. I will buy it even if I don't like one single quilt inside of it. I will buy it just to support the revolution. And I hope you will do the same. And you know what? If it's true that this is truly across the country a bagless issue, we should all, those of us who, you know, actually care about the environment and our children's futures, we should write or call or email the Fonz and Porter folks and say, thank you for our children and our grandchildren. We thank you. That's very cool. Pam, thank you so much for letting me know. It just tickled me to death. Now I think I'm gone, except I don't think that in the earlier part of this show that I gave you my contact information, so let me give it to you now. You can email me at F as in Francis, F Dowell, D-O-W-E-L-L, fdowell at mindspring.com. You can come by my website. It is http://offkilterquilt.podbean.com, or you can come visit in Big Tent, where I'm not being very active, but I'm really enjoying keeping up with other people's forums, which are much more active because they actually post on them. But I'm always interested to see what people are talking about. So come on over to Big Tent and join the Quiltcast Supergroup. We'd love to have you. All right, I actually, this, by the way, I'm adding this PS. It's much later in the day, and I am making good progress with the quilting, and I'm very happy. I've only had to redo a couple things because the backing got kind of crunched up in an unattractive way. So I'm making progress. I've been studying the grid. I think I know what I'm doing. I think that I will free motion it, because otherwise I can't imagine. The grid is going to be just doing squares around the squares and doing a series of squares. And I can't imagine just doing it. You could do it just straight ahead, but you'd have to keep stopping and it would be crazy making. So I think I'm going to free motion the grid. I'm looking forward to it. I really just like using a sewing machine. I think it's fun. Don't you? All right. More soon. Bye.